I am. I'm a prayer. Somebody prayed for me. Somebody prayed that I was here. You acknowledge that I am a prayer and someone prayed for me. You may not like me. You may not embrace me. You may not like my thoughts, my opinions, but I am. And it's just all about respect and love.
On In Good Faith, we believe that all faith traditions have something to teach us about how God is working in the world and in our lives. So join us as we listen and learn. Today on In Good Faith, we're in the Atlanta, Georgia area to hear some great music and to have a little bit of conversation about that music and the mission that you do with it. My guests today are Rabbi Michael Lapidus and Melvin Miles. And Rabbi, thank you for having us here in your music room. This is actually pretty cozy.
Delighted. Y'all made it easy. Thanks for coming over.
We aim to please. We make house calls. So the two of them perform here in Atlanta, Georgia, and across the country. So we talk about using art, which is exactly what the two of you do. And I wonder if you just rehearse to us how you met and what made you decide to write together and start singing together.
Amigo?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll fact check.
Okay. So I'm a member of Ebenezer Baptist Church, and mm-hmm. Micah is a member of
the temple.
Mm-hmm. And our two congregations have a relationship going as far back as Martin Luther King Sr.
And his counterpart, Rabbi Rothschild, Jacob mm-hmm. Rothschild.
Yeah. Every year, for a long time, our congregations got together doing a MLK Junior birthday Shabbat right. service. So our choirs got together, and that's how we actually met.
And as a songwriter, once I've witnessed one of these services, I said, I don't care what I have to do. I'll go down to the crossroads like Robert Johnson. I got to have a song that is a part of this service. I need to hear the Ebenezer Baptist Choir and the Temple Choir sing something that I've composed. And fortunately, through Kyle and what we Jews call chutzpah, I was able to make that happen. Eventually, after the murder of George Floyd, we finally realized that we needed to connect and collaborate to amplify our voices in the spirit of our two congregations, which we're children of, sons of, and just in alignment with their own conscience.
So I'm thinking civil rights movement, the answer's blowing in the wind, Bob mm-hmm. Dylan, his guitar, Joan Baez, mm-hmm. I mean, Pete Seeger. This is a tradition with civil rights, folk music. And where do you see yourself fitting into that?
We really appreciate the question because obviously, in addition to our two faith communities, we stand on the shoulders of many people, particularly from that 40s, 50s, 60s, mm-hmm. 70s era, Black and Jewish, who joined together. What's really important to us is why we're so committed to writing new material, is that we know that we evoke that nostalgia for people. We've performed with Peter Yarrow, and mm-hmm. Peter Yarrow looked at Melvin after he sang a verse of Blowing in the Wind and said, "That, sir, is how it's done." The risk there is always that people backslide into yesterday's problems. And we want to keep the focus on what is going on today, what is the struggle now, and we want to make sure that we're just reminding people that new songs need to be sung. Some of the challenges of the moment are perennial challenges, but it's meant to be a contemporary undertaking and not a cover band, not a review. And as much as we honor those who came before and would not be here without them, mm-hmm. we want to try to carry it forward.
I mean, I just think we're following in the footsteps of people like King and Heschel, Rabbi Heschel. Mm-hmm. And I think that we should just continue following in those footsteps and make as much change as we possibly can through whatever means we can.
Well, let's go right to music. If you'll introduce this first song, Melvin.
So this song is To This Darkness, and this song is about singing to whatever darkness you may be going through at mm-hmm. the point in time. In our country, we have been going through a lot of dark times. So it's an encouragement to sing to your darkness, sing love to your darkness, sing joy, sing something that lifts the darkness and brings a little light in.
To my left and to my right, darkness sits where once was light. All at once darkness surrounds, there's a silence beneath the sound. Mm-hmm. To my left and to my right, darkness sits as dark as night. At my feet before my eyes, shadows fall and darkness lies. Mm-hmm. this darkness I will sing a song of love, my offering. To this darkness I will sing a love profound, my offering, my offering. This darkness I describe, who among us would deny? To reveal, to touch, to feel, it's a force bold, true, and real. Defy, we must in ways our own, just as seas of light are sown. A single candle kindles light, with hope renewed we greet the night. Ooh, to this darkness I will sing a song of love, my offering. To this darkness I will sing a love profound, this darkness I will sing a song of love, my offering, my offering, a love profound. Song of love, my offering. To this darkness I will sing a love profound, my offering, my offering.
That's To This Darkness, Rabbi Micah, Melvin Miles. Thank you very much. It really fits to have a guitar. What a great combination with the two of you together and your intent.
Oh, Melvin, anywhere he's willing to have me.
So what do you do with your music and interfaith groups when you go to speak or to sing and share this? What are you hoping to accomplish?
Melvin and I, we were thinking about, is there any genre that we think suits our music, a way of kind of giving folks an easy way to wrap their minds around it? We were walking home from dinner one night in near Melvin's old neighborhood, and we realized that what we do is we write music for people of conscience. We're writing music for people who feel like there's a disconnect between the way the world is and the way that it could be, for people who are anxious, nervous, concerned, curious, hopeful, optimistic, determined, ambitious, you know, whatever it might be. And we believe also, kind of spoiler alert, everyone has conscience. Mm-hmm. And so our music really is meant for everyone, but it's meant for that part of us that knows that there's a higher purpose to our being here.
I want to ask you what you feel from people when you share, or what feedback do you get?
I feel a sense of deep, generous attention. I feel people listening, not just with their minds, more importantly, with their hearts. We feel that people are very receptive, very welcoming, and that puts us at ease and gives us the freedom to share and to connect.
You've got some great hooks, too, because I'm still singing, "In this darkness, I will sing." It's in me while you're talking here.
Thank you.
Yeah, and they always come up to us after the program, asking us and telling us that they were inspired. And that's what's important for me.
Right.
I want to make sure that they feel inspired and they feel uplifted after maybe a hard day. You know, you never know what people are going through. Yeah. So you want people to feel good after they're leaving.
What has this done for each of you in your own faith to work together so closely with different congregations, but also with someone of another faith in this same mission you're doing?
So for me, faith, music, and art all are one for me. Uh-huh. So working with someone of another faith as long as they have like a higher power, God, or some type of love energy, mm-hmm. you know, that's what it's all about for me. Love, and having that energy of love and wanting to include the world, include everybody, no matter where you're coming from, no matter what your culture, no matter what your background, all of that spirituality are all combined in one. When I want to work with someone, like Micah has a connection with God.
Yeah.
This musical undertaking has been just a most profound vehicle for my own self-discovery, encounter with voice, and understanding and clarification of what my rabbinate is, what faith means to me, what it means to create art. And so it's just something that's very, very, very deep. I love Melvin. My family loves Melvin. Melvin loves my family. It's an indescribable bond. And I think part of what, again, resonates is that I think that many people come away being reminded that it's something that they can seek out in their lives.
Mm-hmm. So I wonder if you'd talk to me a little bit about writing a song and then lead us into the second song. How does this process work with this duo?
I think more about song catching. So mm-hmm. I think a lot of songs are kind of floating out there, and that in the better moments, and we're tuning, speaking to you as a fellow songwriter, tuning to a frequency. And yeah. then if you're on that frequency and you have a pen and paper, you catch the song. The better songs, I'd say, were not written. They were more, I was tuned to that frequency, found them. And then the added piece with Melvin is just the recognition that for a variety of reasons, there are songs that we can sing together that we cannot sing alone. And so the expansion of the vista of possibility through our collaboration. So yeah. a song like Good Trouble, that song is a real Atlanta stamp on it. So Congressman Lewis of blessed memory was a friend of both of our communities, a beloved figure in Atlanta and obviously beyond. He had a chance to hear that song. He loved it. He signed off on it. So that was obviously very nourishing. And just taking that evocative phrase, and then developing out what that means and really creating an interfaith anthem that has those civil rights allusions, that honors Congressman Lewis. I mean, if you can throw Gandhi, MLK, John Lewis all in a song and do it without it being trite or cliche about it, then you know you got a fun tune.
Good trouble coming down the line. Good trouble, ease your worried mind. Good trouble, calling out to you, and I don't mind if I do. A little good trouble,
good trouble,
like John Lewis said. Good trouble,
good trouble,
that prophetic voice inside your head. Good trouble, like Gandhi and King, that whole nonviolent thing. If your soul is weary and you feel alone, and if your heart is heavy, beneath the weight of a stone, if you witness evil that you can't deny, and if you can't be silent, and you won't stand by. Do a little good trouble.
Good trouble.
Us and them, me and you. Good trouble.
Good trouble.
Christian, Muslim, Jew, and Hindu. Good trouble. What's that noise in my ear? It's that bell of justice ringing clear. And it's ringing good trouble.
Good trouble.
I won't take no compromise. Good trouble,
good trouble.
Keep your eyes on the prize. Good trouble,
good trouble.
We gotta clean up this mess. May the hands that do the work be blessed. If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, and if your belly burns with a justice fire, with your heart to guide you and your vision clear, the dawn will break, a new day is here. Oh, is here. Good trouble,
good trouble.
The arc of justice is long. Good trouble,
good trouble.
All the while the people growing strong. Good trouble, let your conscious object I don't mean no disrespect. I don't mean no disrespect.
Two more times.
I don't mean no disrespect. I don't mean no disrespect. Just a little good trouble.
That's good trouble. I love hearing Eyes on the Prize, too.
That's right.
I was in there. That's one to get everybody moving.
Yeah.
And music bypasses the cogs and the wheels and the technical part of our brain and goes right to our hearts, at least ideally. And so I just feel like, how could you sing that or hear that and not feel something for it? That's part of the magic, of course, of the music. But let me ask, because you said that song has a real Atlanta stamp on it, do you feel, as a congregant at Ebenezer Baptist, that it's like kind of the water you drink there that you need to be looking forward to activism or improvement in society? Is that almost an obligation?
Well, it did not happen until I joined Ebenezer. I didn't have that mindset that that I have now. I didn't appreciate it. I guess that would probably be the best way to say it. I did not appreciate all of the work that had been put into the privileges that we have now. I've been there for about 12 years now. I've grown individually and socially and everything, and justice minded. Yes, it is absolutely at the top of my list, and I'm so happy that now I'm a part of whatever history that they have now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you mentioned, I mean, going clear back to Rabbi Rothschild, so that's is that also the tradition at the temple?
Yeah, I'd say both of our congregations and both of our traditions more generally are much more interested in what you're going to do than what you're going to say. Mm. Now, both of our traditions obviously value the power of words. I mean, words are powerful, but yeah, what you're going to do?
Get up and do something.
What you're going to do?
Yeah, get up and do something.
Is it discouraging sometimes that it's so necessary what you do?
It's not discouraging at all to me. It is. It's actually helpful to know that there are still, even though we don't want it to be things going wrong in the world, it's helpful to know that we have something that we can offer into the world, into those dark spaces, into those dark places. You know, it's helpful to us. We have work. I mean, that's work.
We got good job security, so that's one thing. But also, if you go and look at the Dead Sea Scrolls, which are some of the oldest of the Hebrew scriptures, there's a beautiful scroll that describes a cosmic battle between B'nai Or and B'nai Choshech, the children of light and the children of darkness. So we're not the first to experience a kind of cosmic struggle, and we're not the last. And I take a lot of comfort in knowing, we know this through our own music, but also through the children that I teach, through so many other ways, that B'nai Or, the children of light, are much stronger. So many wonderful things are happening inside of us, around us, between us, among us, and eventually maybe the struggle, the conflict will never fully resolve, but that the power of light and of good is not going anywhere.
The title of this next song, I mean, this goes clear back to the Old Testament times, I Am.
Yeah, this song is affirmation. It gives people the will to accept themselves as a human being, a full human being, and demand the respect of other people acknowledging your humanness. I am. I'm a prayer. Somebody prayed for me. Somebody prayed that I was here. You acknowledge that I am a prayer and someone prayed for me. You may not like me. You may not embrace me. You may not like my thoughts, my opinions, but I am. And it's just all about respect and love.
Yeah. A rabbi friend of mine said that he'd come to realize that because we were all creations of God and have that image of the divine in us, that he felt it would be blasphemy for him not to recognize that in another person. That's not always easy if the other person seems diametrically opposed to what you're trying to do. But I love the hope that I feel in what you do. And let's hear this song.
This song is I Am.
Whether you see me or not, whether you believe in me or not, whether you love me or not, I am. Whether you stand with me or not, whether you embrace me or not, whether you see me or not, I am. I'm clothed in dignity, I am. Bathed in love, I am. I am a prayer, I am a prayer, I am. I am a blessing, I am a prayer, I am. Down this road I walk, sometimes alone I walk, sometimes with you I walk, but I am. To the horizon I walk, the sun is rising as I walk, my head held high as I walk, because I am. Clothed in dignity, I am. Bathed in love, I am. I am a prayer, I am a prayer, I am. I am a blessing, I am a prayer, I am. A prayer. Oh, yes, I am.
Gentlemen, really, it's a privilege to be here together with you. I love that, really, that it's in a home setting. This makes me feel really comfortable, and that you would share these messages. How much have you written? How many songs? Oh. Have you got a count?
So, let me say this. When we first started working together, before we started working together, Micah sent me probably about 60 songs. and then the George Floyd.
Okay, I'm sensing overachiever vibes here.
You know, not really overachiever, but we have, you know, multiple languages, literally Hebrew and English. Yeah. We have multiple traditions. The world is constantly unfolding. So when we perform at the local Sandy Springs Farmers Market, we bring a set list of usually 50 or 60 songs. Uh-huh. We're there for 4 hours. We don't do any repeats, and we just keep going and going. Wow. And going. And the best ones are still in the Google Drive, and we haven't even touched them yet.
We haven't gotten to it yet.
You know, Melvin's real dream real achievable dream is singing jazz. So now I got to start writing songs that have more than four chords. So we've been working on that as well.
You might need an extra finger there, I think, to reach
or a guitar or a guitar lesson. Yeah.
We have some great songs that he's already written, some jazz songs, pieces and everything. They're good.
I mean, once you tune to the frequency, you know, yeah. and when you're there with another person, why would you ever walk away from that?
Mm. Yeah. This is a very personal question, and you may have your own way of thinking of this, but do you have some sense that God is really happy with what you're doing? Because I feel that for you.
I definitely do, because my dad always says, when you're in the will of God, things align. Everything aligns. Everything may not be perfect, but everything is aligned. I mean, the love is there. Our friendship is there. Everything that God wills for us, I believe, is there and it's aligned.
And I think that this moment is a testament to that. You have no idea how nourishing and affirming this is to us to be able to open our home to you, to make a human connection, to get new friends, to be treated with such professionalism and courtesy and thoughtfulness.
Gentlemen, I just have so much really great energy from just being here in your presence, sharing the music you have in your home. And I'm so happy for what you do and that maybe we can amplify it a little bit, but you've been a blessing to us as well. We're so grateful to Rabbi Michael Lapidus and Melvin Miles for speaking with us. This episode was produced by Heather Bigley. Our production team also includes Aaliyah Ebert, Katarita Martinich, and James Sturdivant. Our post-production sound designers are Ashton Parkinson and Lauren Sandberg. In Good Faith is committed to the idea that we all benefit from hearing people of widely varying backgrounds share their personal experience with faith and belief. In fact, we think people with such experience deserve some of our best listening. If interfaith understanding is important to you, be sure and share one of these episodes in this series, and be sure you leave a comment or review on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. We're on Twitter at InGoodFaithPod, Instagram and Facebook at InGoodFaithPodcast. Our YouTube address is youtube.com/@in-good-faith, and you can see videos of these very people we heard from today. In Good Faith is a production of BYU Radio. I'm Stephen Cap Perry. I hope you join us again soon, right here, In Good Faith.
Hi, I'm Stephen Cap Perry, host of In Good Faith. In our BYU Radio family of podcasts, I've got to tell you about an award-winning podcast called Constant Wonder. Are you ready to immerse yourself in the awe-inspiring world of nature? That's what Constant Wonder does. Host Marcus Smith brings us on trips and conversations with people whose lives have been touched by the beauty of the earth and exploring its mysteries. If you crave some adventure and you want to travel the earth, but it's hard to fit into your schedule, do what I do and listen to Constant Wonder, riveting conversation with individuals whose lives have been impacted and changed by their explorations of the Earth's beauty and its mysteries. Constant Wonder, wherever you get your podcasts.